Hello and welcome to the live from the festival on BCB 106.6 FM. Coming to you from the Bradford Literature Festival Hub here in City Park, I'm Maureen Grant.
And I'm Mary Dowson. And we'll be with you for the next 30 minutes, bringing you all the Literature Festival news, reviews and interviews.
Wonderful. And on today's programme, we'll be hearing from Sadiq Khan, the Lord Mayor of London, who will be at the Alhambra tomorrow talking about his book, Breathe.
And another Khan, Saeed Khan, a friend of the Bradford Literature Festival, will be joining us to talk about the bite-sized lunchtime event today, 50 years of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
But first, we're delighted to be joined by the festival director, Saima Aslam.
Saima, you're on.
Welcome, Saima. Good to have you.
And so good to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Brilliant. And I can see that it's a buzz of activity. Tell us what's been happening so far.
Oh goodness, well, lots has been happening. We actually kicked off a couple of weeks ago with the education program. So this is actually, these 10 days are the culmination of all the work that's been going on. So we've had lots and lots of school kids buzzing around, having a fantastic time. We've had a day about, you know, how we're all made of stardust, and a day about Kashmir. We actually had Attorney General Keith Ellison speaking to them today about the anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech. So that's been really, really exciting. And then, of course, the festival itself is kicking off. So we've had a baby rave today, which was absolutely gorgeous. We've had a creative economic conference bringing together businesses and the creative sector. We've had the Shadow Chancellor Rachel Reeves speaking about that. And tonight we have the performance of Chikwa, which is it's a world premiere. It's a symphonic, it's the first symphonic Chikwa to actually be performed, and it's with the Manchester Camerata and Rashil Ranjan and Avi Sampa.
My goodness.
I know. I mean, the program is so wide-ranging. There's something for everybody. I can't believe that there's anybody in Bradford who could say there was nothing for me. I mean, is it getting easier to bring this together? Because we've done some years now. It's an institution, a proud institution.
Well, we're 9 years old now. This is the 9th Literature Festival. And does it get easier?
that's a difficult question.
No, that is a very difficult question. However, I would say actually that, you know, we are just starting off. We're actually still very much, you know, the babies on the scene, and I would say that we have built the foundations, but actually there's a very long way to go for us. But I agree with you. The whole point of the festival is to ensure that there is something for everyone, that everyone can participate. So, you know, tomorrow we have the Free Family Fun Days kicking off. So we've got Miss Marvelous and, you know, all the superhero stuff. And that is the entire point. I really believe in democratizing literature and culture. Should not be something that feels like a rarefied air that only a few can breathe. That this is the absolute lifeblood of our future generations.
I mean, that's really important, because when you pick up the festival, the main festival programme, and I think, you know, as Maureen said, the amount of and the diversity of events that are there for adults is immense, absolutely immense. I've already got a bad shoulder carrying two copies of the programme round with me. But I know that your intention is to transform children's lives, or the lives of our children in Bradford, and to create that desire for words.
Absolutely. I always say this, that it's a very simplistic belief, but it's something that I really, really hold on to, and I'm very passionate about, that education has the power to change lives, and that literacy is the foundation stone of that. It's one of the key reasons for setting the festival up. So, you know, it's a festival of, I suppose, three parts. You know, we have our community events taking place, we have our education events taking place, and all of those translate into the ticketed events that you see in the brochure. I believe it's really important for children to be inspired and to have their aspirations raised, and that is why our education program runs concurrently with the main festival. So, you know, for example, you know, Attorney General Keith Ellison is here because it's the 3-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd. He is launching his book tomorrow, which is Break the Wheel of Police Violence. But he also spoke to those kids today, and you know, they may not get that kind of opportunity otherwise. Yeah. And that is really, really important.
Are you able to be excited by events, Simon? Having done so much of the organising, so much responsibility, can you have that flicker of excitement?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I am always excited about our programme. I was talking to my team the other day, and I was asked to give a quote about something. And I said, yeah, the problem is when I get to this point, I'm always really disappointed. And they said, you can't say that. And I said, well, no, it's not that I'm disappointed in the programme. I think by this stage, I'm always like, well, we could have done X, Y, and Z. So I think the programme is the thing that I'm always eternally excited by. And I do everything else that needs to be done for the festival so that we can deliver this great programme.
Yes. So in terms of the coming week, is there any highlights that you want to point us to? I mean, there's so much to choose from.
There is a lot to choose from. Okay, highlights. So we have Shikwa this evening. We have Sadiq Khan and Attorney General Keith Ellison tomorrow. We also have the launch of The Way of the Prophets and the film In the Footsteps of the Prophet, which are two events that we are doing in collaboration with the ITRA. We have Rana Ayub delivering the free word lecture next weekend, which I'm hugely excited by. We are hosting Sheikh Yakubi. We have Reza Aslan here. We have, you know, the absolutely amazing Lyrical Mehfil this Saturday and Poetry with a Punch on Thursday. I am hugely excited by all of them. And then, you know, and we have, you know, like I said, we have Chikwa this evening. On Saturday, we have Nina Simone. And this is the following Saturday. We have both Nina Simone anniversary, 20 years, Judy Jackson singing Nina Simone, which is going to be amazing, and Sufiana Clam running on the same evening. So, yeah. What is there not to be excited by?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a smile on all our faces,
yeah,
isn't it?
I mean, I think it's just such a wonderful thing to happen in Bradford, and bringing it back to the children, I think that is so encouraging. Like the bus out there, you know, the children's bus where they can listen to stories. So I think it's just such a real, real thing to happen in Bradford that is so meaningful. And you know, I'm moved by it.
Clearly, yeah. I mean, I know how much work goes into the programming, but I presume you're already thinking about next year's program at the start of this program too.
Absolutely. So we tend to program a couple of years ahead. I mean, it's not that we have, you know, fixed down program for next year, but certainly, you know, some of the key ideas. Also, we are going to be 10 next year, which feels absolutely unbelievable. So yeah, and obviously 2025 is coming up, so yeah, all of those things we've been thinking about for the last couple of years, and we tend to sort of program as we go along. The years just sort of fall in.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, well, I know you said the school's program's been going for a couple of weeks, but today's the sort of the real start of programming for the festival, and we'll see you over the coming 10 days, Simon.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you are. How you managed to stay standing. she's got some secret that we're all gonna have to tap into.
To describe to the listeners, she's just looking cool, super cool. I don't know how, but she's super cool. I would have been frazzled all over her.
Thank you. Well done.
You look, you know, it's a triumph, I think, already. So, and we've only just started.
Simon, thank you so much. I know you're going to be at St. George's Hall tonight.
I am, yes.
You are, yeah, and so I'll be there with you.
Excellent. I am so excited about that. I feel it's to be able to do this is just, it's an absolute privilege. So I'm very, very excited that you're going to be there.
Thank you so much, Simon Aslan, the Director of Bradford Literature Festival, and good luck for the next 10 days.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was interesting to hear Simon's take, wasn't
it,
on the festival.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. I think it's such a huge thing. And I actually remember talking to her before the festival started, about 10 years ago, and her vision for what needs to happen. And, you know, it's just so good for that to have come to fruition in the way it has, and to see how it's grown over the years.
To have that vision,
yes.
And then to put it into practice, to make it happen is splendid,
it's
isn't
fantastic.
It?
Fantastic. Yeah. So let's move on. The Lord Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, will be at the Lambeth tomorrow afternoon talking about his first book, Breathe. The book actively addresses our need to tackle the climate emergency. BCB's John Hebden spoke to him yesterday and asked him how his passion for environmental action started.
I've got to confess to Bradford Community Radio that I ran the London Marathon because I was asked to do so by the leading London newspaper, Evening Standard, yes, to raise money for charity, but also, if I'm honest, I was hoping me running the marathon for them would mean they'd endorse me when I decided to run to be the mayor. So I've got to be honest, that was the reason, one of the reasons I chose to run the marathon. I'm reasonably fit. I used to play football. I could run the odd 5K around the common. And so I agreed to run the marathon because they first asked a good friend of mine, Ed Balls. Ed had agreed to run it for somebody else, another charity. So I said yes. And I started training, and I listened to great music like Survivor, like Huey Lewis, 80s classics, do you know what I mean? So yeah. the sort of music that keeps you going, that you can sing along to. And it was a hard slog, but before I trained, both my head of my office and my wife, both separately, said, listen, Sadiq, we love you, but we think you better have a medical to make sure you're fit enough to do the marathon. And I had a medical, found to be completely fit, healthy, and so forth. What happened then, John, was that I ran the marathon. I raised lots of money for charity, more than £20,000. I beat Ed Bulls, very important to the story. I was diagnosed later on with asthma, and I'd never had asthma in my life. I'd never had any health problems in my life. And the doctor said that actually getting asthma when you're older is not uncommon. And the reason you get asthma when you're older could be because of the environment. The sort of stuff you can't see, you can't smell, it's air pollution. It's what's called particle matter, nitrogen dioxide. And I learned that actually by doing something I love, running, in the city I love, London, I'd become sick.
So you were working through those kind of personal health issues, weren't you? And then you got elected to be Mayor of London. And then I think in relatively soon after you had been elected, you heard about Rosamund Kissy Deborah's story, and, well, particularly the story of her daughter Ella, which I think is also in the book. So, and yeah, that's really important, isn't it? Just tell us a bit about that.
Well, this book, Breathe, is my personal story. It's not a political memoir. It's the journey that I've been on. So before I was a member of parliament, I used to be a lawyer. I was the sort of lawyer who I used to drive a Saab convertible into the city when I could take public transport. When my first daughter was born, I bought a big Land Rover Discovery, even though I never went in the countryside. And that was my attitude. You know, I voted for a new runway at Heathrow. But after discovering that actually air pollution and climate change are caused by the same thing, but actually that I'd become sick because of air pollution, I started to discover more about it, learn more about it. And I learned about this wonderful woman called Rosamund Kissy Deborah, whose nine-year-old daughter Ella had passed away in 2013. And what I discovered was Ella was a gorgeous seven-year-old girl diagnosed with asthma. And for the next 2 years, she had many asthma attacks. She had a ventilator. She was an inpatient many times. Many times she, you know, lost consciousness, and, you know, she had a cardiac arrest, and mum brought her back to life doing CPR. And I discovered that Ella had died when she'd become nine in 2013. And Rosamund had begun a campaign to have a fresh inquest, because Rosamund was seen, if there was any link between Ella's asthma and death and air pollution. And the evidence at the time wasn't that there was a link. What Rosamund subsequently discovered by meeting a great lawyer, Jocelyn Coburn, great expert, world-leading expert, like Professor Stephen Holgate and many others, was she realized subsequently that on the days her daughter had had an asthma attack, on the days her daughter had been rushed to hospital, on the days when Rosamund had been given her daughter CPR, those very same days, air pollution was worse outside her home. Traffic was bad, congestion was bad, and she'd not realized there was a link between air pollution caused by traffic and polluting vehicles, and her daughter becoming sick. And there was a second inquest, which I supported, and a new coroner, for the first time in history, concluded that air pollution was linked to her death. And the reason why that's so important is if you and I were speaking 40 years ago, we wouldn't know or we wouldn't be talking about the link between smoking and lung cancer.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember, John, the case of Roy Castle.
Mm.
Roy Castle, a famous TV presenter and a trumpet player, never smoked a cigarette a day in his life, but because he was playing the trumpet and working men's clubs, he got lung cancer. And people didn't realise that there was passive smoking.
Yeah.
And similarly, Ellis case is as important because we've now got a coroner confirming, experts confirming, that actually air pollution can lead to premature death. And we've also discovered that air pollution is responsible for children having stunted lungs forever, adults having a whole host of health issues from asthma to cancer, from dementia to heart disease, from the moment somebody's pregnant and breathing in toxic air to the moment, somebody's, in their older years. Air pollution's got a really serious effect on you, and you don't even know it because you can't see it.
So, given your own experience, and given particularly what happened to Ella and Rosamund, how did that change the way you approached being London mayor? I mean, was it significantly different from perhaps the way you'd originally planned, from the policies that you'd originally thought about?
Yeah. So, what this book about is explaining to people why this issue is important, but the various obstacles I've had in front of me when I've been trying to bring about change. Because listen, I've got the powers to bring about change, right? I can't plead ignorance because I know what's going on. I can't plead I've not got the powers because I've got powers. And let me tell you an amazing fact. The chief medical officer did a report last year, Sir Chris Whitty.
Yeah.
Across the country, including in Bradford, across the country, there are up to 36,000 premature deaths because of air pollution, right? 36,000 premature deaths because of air pollution in Bradford, in Leeds, in London, across the country. But there are things we can do about it. In London, we brought in the world's first ultra-low emission zone. And what that does is basically incentivizes people to walk, cycle, use public transport. Where you can't, if you're going to use a car that's less polluted. And here's the great news. In the first year of our policy in London, I brought it in 2017, 2018, 2019, we managed to reduce the toxicity, the poison, in the air in central London by 50%. So this should give people hope. There are things we can do about it. There are things we can do to improve the air, which prolongs people's lives. So in London now, there are millions of people breathing cleaner air because of our policies. And I want this book to be a book of hope as well, because you and I both know when it comes to climate change, it's often doom and gloom. There's nothing we can do about it. We're cynical. We're apathetic. It doesn't affect me. There's nothing I can do about it. Other things take priority. It costs too much and so forth. So, our example in London is a good story about what you can do to fix the air.
And it's very timely that you're coming to Bradford because, as you'll be aware, we're relatively new to having a clear air zone in Bradford. It's been controversial. There's been opposition to it. But I suppose one of the messages that you can come and I imagine you'd want to bring on Saturday would be, this is what happened in London. This could happen in Bradford as well.
Yeah, look at the history of Bradford, wonderful city of mills. If you and I were speaking in the middle of the 20th century, I'd be telling you that there are too many people in Bradford dying because of cholera, because of open sewers. But our forefathers and foremothers, built sewers which dealt with that issue. If you and I were speaking in the middle of the last century, we're talking about the great smog in London and in other parts of the city because of power stations. You could see the problem in the 20th century. You could smell the problem in the 9th century. The problem now is you can't see it or smell it. And so I know initially it's an inconvenience, it's controversial, but, all the evidence is there. This is life-changing, and it can tackle climate change as well. And I'd remind your listeners, and you'll know this because, you and I are of a similar age, but actually when it came to dealing with tobacco, right?
Yep.
Initially, when it came to banning sponsorship, the John Player League every Sunday, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Banning sponsorship on Formula One, yep. Controversial.
Yeah.
Banning smoking in pubs, really controversial. Working men's clubs, really controversial. You wouldn't dream now of going to a gig and lighting up a cigarette.
Right.
And no one would talk about, seriously, bringing back smoking in pubs. And the same goes with clean air zones. I know it's inconvenient. I know it's hard. What the government should be doing is supporting businesses and charities and families in Bradford to make the transition with a scrappage scheme. They should be subsidising people moving away from polluting vehicles to cleaner vehicles. They should be subsidising your great mayor, Tracy Braving, to be in charge of, the buses, the trains, the trams, to encourage people to use public transport. And I know the great MPs in Nas and Imran who are lobbying the government in Parliament to bring about change.
Yeah. So we're going to have you for an hour. Doesn't seem like long enough, really, but an hour in the main theatre at the Alhambra, the beautiful Alhambra, on Saturday. So that'll be great. Are you going to have any time to do anything else while you're in Bradford, or does it have to be a flying visit?
No, I'm coming up tomorrow. Seeing my bestie Nashar, Tracy Braben, tomorrow.
Okay.
Getting a bit of culture in at the Bradford Literary Festival tomorrow evening. Saturday, meeting businesses with Naz in the centre of your wonderful city. Looking forward to my session at the Literary Festival, and then I'll try and catch some more culture in Bradford. One of the things that I love about the Literary Festival is it allows people like me from London to see the joys of Yorkshire. And one of the great things about your Literary Festival is you've got some of the world's finest artists coming to West Yorkshire. I'm really excited.
And that was Sadiq Khan talking to BCV's John Hebden. And you can hear Sadiq speaking at the Alhambra at 2 o'clock tomorrow. You can book your tickets, of course, on the Bradford Literature Festival website or get them from the box office here in City Park.
And you're listening to From the Festival Live here in the Bradford Literature Festival Hub down here in City Park with me, Mary Dowson.
And Maureen Grant.
Now, we've got a surfeit of, is that the right word? We've got a celebration of Khans on the programme tonight. So we're going to move straight from Sadiq Khan to Saeed Khan, who's with us now. Hi, Saeed.
How are you doing, Mary?
Oh, it's really good to have you here. Can I describe you as a friend of Bradford Literature Festival?
I would hope that you describe me as a family member.
Then we could fall out, couldn't we?
Exactly.
Now, you're here again this year, you were here last year and other years. And what is it about the Literature Festival in Bradford that you find so compelling?
So there's three things. One is the festival itself. I mean, it is incredible if you see a look at the layout and the actual program. The number and the diversity of the different events is just amazing. The other thing is the city of Bradford itself. I mean, what a wonderful contribution to it. And certainly with Bradford becoming the UK City of Culture in 2025, I think it's safe to say that the festival played a role in that. And next year, of course, in 2024, is the 10th anniversary of the festival. I mean, the fact that this is no longer just a startup, that it's here to stay, is really comforting. And for a city like Bradford, for a region like the North, I think it's very, very important. And the third reason, of course, is the people. Bradford, or Bradfordians, are just wonderful. They remind me of my dear Detroit. And so coming here is really not much of a stretch. It's kind of like a homecoming.
Now, I was here at lunchtime today where you had your first gig, didn't you?
I did. And my first gig out of 20 this year was the 50th anniversary of the Pink Floyd album Dark Side of the Moon. And it was wonderful to have a crowd of maybe about 40 people who all, you could tell, the album meant something to them, maybe made them a little bit nostalgic and sentimental. But to be around a fraternity of fans and like-minded people who appreciate it was just really wonderful.
Now, I'm not a Pink Floyd fan, but when you went through every track today and you discussed, I knew everyone. I absolutely knew every one of those tracks on the album.
Well, I think all that's left is for you to download the album now, and then you'll have it for yourself. But see, that's the beauty of music, is that we don't even realize how it forms the soundtrack of our minds and our lives. And so it's always around us. We sort of absorb it passively. And then when we realize, as you said, that, oh, my goodness, I know that one and that one and that one and that one. Yeah, it's amazing.
Now, you must have only been a child when it came out.
I was 6 years old when Dark Side of the Moon came down, but I discovered it later on in life at not only some very pivotal moments, but again, it's one of these albums that's always stayed with me. And the ability to go ahead and interpret and reinterpret it and visit it and revisit it has just been wonderful.
Now, I have it on vinyl, which I'm sure if I go back and play it now, it'll have all the same scratches it had all those years ago.
And isn't that wonderful? I mean, one of the things that happens now with streaming and even, CDs have become a little bit kind of quaint and arcane, but to hear those pops and the skips, it's comforting. I mean, maybe for our generation to have that sense of comfort, it gives us proximity, it gives us intimacy with the music. And so it shows us also that we ourselves are creatures of imperfection, and so why shouldn't we listen to music in the same way sometimes?
What a great kickoff to all the input that you have lined up for us. And I'm intrigued to hear some of those. What's there to look forward to in some of that 20 sessions that you have planned?
Well, each of the 20 is wonderful, and it would be difficult for me to go ahead then and even place them in a sort of ranking. But some of the ones that I think are hopefully going to be interesting is being in conversation with Sir Michael Palin. But then also there is a wonderful fantasy writer, Amrish Tirupati, and his looking at Hindu mythology and turning it into fiction. Shashi Tharoor, the Indian politician, be in conversation with him as well. Then one of the things that I really have started to embrace is my involvement with the school children. And I already had an event on Tuesday talking to them about Kashmir, not the song, but the region. And then this week I'm looking forward to talking to them about the Ottoman Empire and a bit of Ottoman history, which is something that I also teach to much older students. So again, having that kind of variety. Oh, tonight we're going to have very shortly, I'll be providing the introduction to the symphonic concert on Shikwa, Muhammad Iqbal's epic poem. So again, to be able to jump from one to another is just what provides me with oxygen at the festival.
That sounds fantastic. And in terms of, I mean, you're a staple here at the festival. I mean, what is it that you think, what's the kind of inspiration going forward?
Well, for me, the inspiration is, again, as I said before, I mean, you have the city, you have the festival itself, you have the people, but then also the people who organize this. I mean, someone like Saima Aslam, to go ahead and have an idea play out and be something that evolves into something as wonderful as this, how can you not support that? And so when Saima went ahead and very kindly invited me the first time for 2019 to do it, I leapt at the chance. When we were under COVID restrictions and we were online in 2020 and 2021, I was just simply waiting to come back. And so last year we were able to do that, and this year again.
Well, can't wait for the next few years installment, especially the 10th anniversary, something big to look forward to. And of course, City of Culture Year 2025.
So, Saeed, thank you so much. We'll bump into each other, I'm sure, over the next 10 days.
I'm sure, and I look forward to that.
And I'll be at Shikwa tonight, so
excellent.
I look forward to that. Thank
right.
you so much.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Thank you so
very
much. Thank you so much.
And that was Saeed Khan. As we said, I said a friend of the festival, and he said part of the festival family, which is a much nicer way of describing it, wasn't
absolutely.
It? Well, we've just got a couple of minutes left on the show. And just before we do, we're going to introduce June Russell, because June's going to be with us next week, and she's been waiting patiently here. June, have you got any festival highlights that you're looking forward to?
Well, I'm going all fairy story, really. I'm going to the Bleak, see the William Blake ones. I'm going to see the talk about Tolkien and Lewis, and I'm going to see various other fairy story things, because I was a big fantasy fan when I was a kid, and still am, we. And at the moment, I've been really enjoying this exhibition here, which is the Illustrators, which is fantastic. I hadn't realised until I came that it's the competition is to illustrate one book by Ursula Le Guin. So I thought, oh, these all look very similar, you know, similar content. But that all the long list are all illustrations for the same book by Ursula Le Guin. And the 30th of June, I think the winner is announced. And all of them are fabulous. They're just beautiful.
Well, that's a reason to come down to the City Hub where we are.
Yeah,
and Maureen,
absolutely.
We're just running out of time now. It's
yeah.
nearly time to go.
Same.
It's been so good to feel that we're on the start of a journey today with
absolutely.
The Literature Festival.
Absolutely. So, it's a great place to be at the moment. And there is none other than right here.
That's it. Right here, right now.
Right here, right now. Yes, exactly.
Thank you so much for listening to Live from the Literature Festival.